You have called us from here. You have called us from where we are. And you speak your way of life that leads to joy and hope and abundance. Yet your way is not always easy. The example that Jesus gives us seems all but impossible to achieve some days. Help us, as we reflect on your word, to come to know that we are not on our own, but that you are with us, and wish to help us shape our lives to be more like the Christ. In this time, guide our hearts to you and your grace. This we pray through our rock and firm foundation, Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. Judgment. We make judgments every day. Psychologists say that within seconds of meeting somebody, you have already decided who someone is and what they're about. Many times, even before a word leaves their mouths. But why? Why are we so quick to judge people and their situations? Those evolutionary psychologists and biologists would say that our judgments are there because it is vital to our existence. If our ancestors had not rightly judged the lion as dangerous or the threat level of a trading partner, we would not be sitting here in this lovely sanctuary. We make judgments every day. Think about it. Were you able to get here this morning without making a judgment about somebody else, positive or negative? Did you judge the motives of another driver on your trip in? Did you judge the way someone's hair looked? Or the prayers that we have already prayed? We make judgments all the time. So what do we make of the opening verses from today's scripture reading? The scripture reading coming from the closing part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. If we judge so naturally and automatically, what do we do with Jesus telling us, "Do not judge that you may not be judged"? Does Jesus really mean that he doesn't want us ever to judge others? I don't think that is what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about judgment. Not to suspend all judgment. This verse was never meant in that context, to stop all evaluations and choices. Because elsewhere in our scripture, Jesus talks about discerning the way, making the right choice. Without judgment, we cannot do those things. The statement, "Do not judge," was never meant to end all debate about moral issues or about life choices or about our theology. It was, however, meant to get us to think. To think about how and when we are making judgments. It is meant to remind us that we have no right to condemn someone else because of their flaws, because of what we see, because of the standards of our society, because of our own uncomfortableness. Judgment in this context was not about those decisions that we make, but about the ways in which we might condemn or cast out or say that somebody is too far away from God's grace. I mean, the reality is we do not know everyone's story. When I was a child, my family made an annual trip through the mountains between Alberta and BC on the way to a beautiful, lovely place called the Okanagan Valley. It was warm and sunny, and there were lakes that were not glacier fed. And it was a long trip. We drove for 8 hours on that day. And as we wound through the mountain pass, there was a place called the summit, literally the top of a mountain, where there was a lovely, lovely rest center. One year, I remember us being very in need, let's say, of that rest center, having consumed way too much water on the way up the hill. And as we jumped out of the cars and ran to the bathrooms, all was quiet. As I was waiting afterwards for my parents to get finished, I observed an interaction. An older gentleman came out of the restroom and was waiting. And a teenager, someone a little bit older than me at the time, came out of the accessible bathroom. I watched this old man go up to that teenager and tear a strip off him, up one side and down the other for using that restroom. Now, as one who had just ran to a bathroom because I needed it so bad, all I could think was, does it really matter? I mean, you didn't need it, and obviously that person did. All sorts of judgments flew in regards to who and what that man was about. But as I sat and I waited, I watched and learned. As an elderly woman came struggling out of the woman's bathroom, joined up with what I assume was her husband, and continued on their trek. We don't know people's stories. And that event caused me to stop and think. To stop and think about just how easy I was making judgments. Easy to do when you're a teenager. Still easy to do when you're an adult. How I passed off this man's concern as being an overreaction and of just trying to put a teenager in his place, when in reality, it was something completely different. And this is the heart of Jesus' call not to judge and not to condemn others. Suspending judgment can be hard, especially in a culture that calls us to compare ourselves to others, to strive to be the best, most beautiful, talented, richest. Just think about all those reality TV shows that make their ratings based on holding up the flaws and comparisons of others. And these seem to be making up more and more of our entertainment. But that's where our cross crosses our lives. What kinds of things do we in our hearts condemn and put down? What kind of things or ideals are we holding up? Are we holding up those things that society says are important? Having more money, a bigger house, the perfect look? Or are we following Jesus' call? God's call to love. To love others as ourselves. Putting ourselves not first, but equal with others. That is kind of the exact opposite of what our society calls us to. And so as we find ourselves in those moments of reflection, putting ourselves before others, putting ourselves before God, we should shake our heads. When we find ourselves judging others based on how they look or how they act, we should be shaking our heads. Because we in this place know better. We know better because we are beloved children of God. Just as we are with our flaws and our fallings and our foibles and those things that make us amazingly beautiful. We know better. Because our neighbors and friends and strangers, we know that they are also beloved children of God. So who are we to judge? So what do we do with this? There are four ways Matthew Henry says that we ought not to judge. We ought not to speak evil of our brother. You can tell what time and place this came out of. Our brothers and our sisters. It's something that even Disney tried to drill into us. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And yet, sometimes we need to speak truth to power. But don't say anything evil. Don't intentionally try to cut down somebody else. Be as positive as you can would be the flip side of that one. He goes on to say, we must not make the worst of other people, nor infer insidious things about their words or actions. Quick show of hands. I know I'm asking you to admit to something. Who here has ever been told something or had a piece of feedback given to them, and they automatically thought, wow, that person's out to get me? Okay, there are a few honest people in this sanctuary. Judging what people are saying as being deliberately out to get us, as being uncharitable or unmerciful, gets us in trouble because that's often our perception, but not necessarily what others are meaning. It's the lens that we have. Henry's next piece of advice goes along with that, around asking and looking at the world through a charitable lens. So though somebody may say that kind of grates you, trying to look at it in the most positive way possible. Offering mercy and grace to the words that just didn't fit. The third piece of advice that Henry gives us is not to judge the hearts or intentions of someone else. Because we do not know the story, God does. We might not ever know the story. This is one of the things that has become abundantly clear in the work that we've been doing overnight here in this place. As we've welcomed people into our space to keep them warm and safe, we don't know the story. but we've experienced the gratitude, the desire to be safe and warm and loved just like each and every one of us. And that's what makes us human. And that's what makes this call to God, or from God, from Jesus, so important. For who are we to judge others? Now, as I mentioned earlier, that doesn't mean that we have a carte blanche to do whatever we want. Jesus doesn't leave us saying, don't judge others. He goes on to say, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye but don't notice the log in your own? How can you say to your neighbor, let me take that speck out of your eye while the log is in your own? You hypocrite. First take out the log in your own eye, and then you can see clearly enough to take out your neighbor's. We're called not to judge others. We're called not to condemn or push aside or say somebody is without God's grace. But we are also called to reflect on ourselves, to look into our hearts and to hold that up against God's will. Not God's will for them, but God's will for us. Not to condemn, but to grow. Because only when we are right with ourselves and God will we ever be able to see clearly the motives, the experience, and the reasons why others do things. So how do we do that? To get to know yourself. Don't be afraid of your story, the places you've been and the things you've experienced. And look into that and how it affects you. How do we refrain from judging and call us to look at our own logs? We pray. We ask God for guidance and wisdom. We ask God for help seeing those things that we'd rather not see in ourselves because it's easier to look at others. We engage with our scriptures. We allow the Holy Spirit to breathe into them and into us insight and wisdom. And we come together gathering in community. We come together here so that we can practice amongst people who know forgiveness and grace and mercy, how to be forgiving and graceful and mercy to those who are sometimes less so. This isn't always easy. And here's the thing. Following Jesus, while it's difficult, is also an ongoing practice. It's not something that we ever truly get right. It's something that we continue to grow in. As we experience the relationship with God deeper and deeper and become closer and more fully who we are. As we shape our lives more and more into Christ-like lives. The journey doesn't end. But our logs start getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we are assured that when we do this, when we seek God's way, when we grow in God's path, as we learn about ourselves and our relationship with our Creator, that we are creating a firm and sure foundation So let's give thanks to Jesus, who sets for us lofty and high goals. Let's give thanks to Jesus, who comes beside us and has said, I will not leave you alone. Let's give thanks to God, for the community that we have that helps us to learn and grow and be beloved children and see the entire world in the same way. Amen.